interrupting the current neo-Uronial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind a woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 566. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind a woodshed. And if you'd like a freedom of choice in media, please feel free to find the buttons at reallibertymedia.com and donate. And if you don't or can't use PayPal, contact Sound Minds at rlmdonation@reallibertymedia.xyz for any available alternatives at the time. We'll work that out there. And thanks for your generous donations at this point to keep this word on the air. And word is, I just got another word. YouTube just took down two more episodes. We're way back to 2018 now, it looks like. Medical misinformation. And you know, I've been talking about law. I've been talking about the things of local law. So they're using the WHO, a non-governmental organization, to overthrow, usurp your local government law. Think about that. And these folks think they deserve to be a corporation in this country is the problem with this country in the fact of what freedom ends up being and people taking advantage of it. And another thing that's being taken advantage of, and I guess we have a PSA here, People Service Announcement. Beware, folks. WordPress and Tumblr plan to sell user content to AI companies. 404 reports the conflict was automatic as some of the content that was being scraped for AI companies included private content not included or intended to be saved by the company. To complicate matters even further, advertising content that isn't even owned by Automattic, including ads from an old Apple Music campaign, has also reportedly made its way into the training data set. Plans of Automattic have been so controversial internally that a product manager has even started pulling his own photos off Tumblr to make sure that they're not used to train AI. Generative AI has become a big business ever since OpenAI first launched ChatGPT in late 2022. A text prompt image creators soon followed from a number of companies. The technology works by being trained on enormous amounts of data, which allows it to generate videos, images, or text that appears original. But major publishers have complained, with some even filing lawsuits, alleging that much of the data used to train these systems was either pirated or doesn't constitute fair use under existing copyright regimes. Then when you read the story, you get to opt out, and I want to know why not an opt in, first of all. And if you don't know what WordPress is and these things, WordPress is a content manager. RealLibertyMedia.com uses a content manager, and it's WordPress based. And so this is an interesting problem that we're going to have to really look at now. As I've been telling you, we're trying to transition everything out of these so-called benefits you get, gifts you get from these companies. It's commercial. And so my content is on this network, and I guess they're taking possession of it. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? And they're doing it for commercial gain. As I'm telling you, it's going to be helpful to have people donate to get us off these, off of using these softwares and having and developing our own as we move forward. So this seems, again, like a gigantic commercially motivated copyright infringement to me if we look around. This is really indicating the pathway being in the sewer of the Matrix, not taking benefit from any of these thieves. Because, again, the Matrix is not a movie. We were predicting this. We were being told about this. And I'm not sure what we're going to do yet at Real Liberty Media. I haven't even talked to anybody about it. It just came my way to notice. We will have to see. I'm not sure what to do, what to say about what to do. We're going to be having our stuff stolen by companies and taking profit from it, even if there's no intention to the profit or its use or its subsequent use. As I've said, I retain a copyright so I can keep inconsistent uses in control. So other than that, you're free to use the content. Hopefully for your edification this is where it's stepping up to the next level. They're selling it, and then they're not asking anybody who are the content creators. And this starts to show you, reading the use services uses, some of that may be involved where they take copyright. That's illegal, but they're doing it. And there's not, doesn't seem to be many things to do. The only other thing I can think to do is just stay away. As we start to understand, they are moving, all these companies are moving, they get you used to it, and then they get you moved over. You know how much hassle it's going to be? It's a lot of work to do what we're having to think maybe here to do. And so we'll see. We've been trying to keep everybody free from this. We've been trying to keep the amount of interaction down so that, again, we don't have to worry about, ID verification. You just don't, there's just no information that's going to leave, so don't worry about it. But they're making it very difficult to even have content on these platforms using products. And a follow-up here on the SEC and Rumble investigation, fairly interesting. What I think notoriety starts to do when you get the word out, like I said, behind which you spread the word. Some of these things will help people. A lot of people don't seem to believe that it helps them or will help them, but enough people come to me over time, and I can listen how they're changing their perception and awareness and how maybe they're approaching things a lot different, and it's a lot more secure for them and a lot more sure about what's going on in places maybe to go and things not to do. You can pick and choose your battle a lot better. More importantly, that I try to talk about is you can keep someone from trying to take you down a bit. And here's one of these notices we just had, WordPress. They're going to take all your content. But a lot of people don't engage that way. They're taking your content when you just show up. Real Liberty Media doesn't do that. Like YouTube and things like that. They're finding you out. Then they take that content and they sell it to somebody, and lots of companies. I'm shocked to see the disclosure on how many so-called legitimate vendors are sitting inside these websites. I would have never guessed it. No wonder the bandwidth goes way up and who they're contacting and the delays that are going on. Another thing that Real Liberty Media has to do, there was lots of little attachments that were going on over time that Grimner had put in that we're trying to take back out. So it doesn't take as long as it has been to get onto the website. Those can be brought in a little bit later. Those feelers, they're not vendors. They were just places for content, other content to be brought to the page. But an initial startup, they're taking a little bit too long, so we want to reintegrate that. Again, it's a lot of work to figure out and get it working. But here, getting over to SEC, Rumble, I reported on this. The SEC ends its investigation into Rumble. The investigation was accused of being politically motivated. The Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, has concluded its investigation into Rumble, a popular free speech video platform, with a decision not to pursue any further action. The investigation, which drew considerable attention, was reportedly initiated following claims that Rumble had been manipulating its viewer data. The SEC's involvement sparked a debate about the motivations behind the investigation, with some suggesting that it was not solely based on financial concerns, but also ideological differences. The SEC's decision to recommend no further action is a significant vindication for Rumble, which has consistently denied any wrongdoing. This investigation and its final outcome is likely to fuel discussions about the role of regulatory bodies in addressing corporate practices, especially in politically polarized environment. So my question, political motivations aside, is there manipulation? Because I understand, I think it is, that Rumble is privately held, and it's also have someone who I believe was working with the CIA as having an interest in the company. And so this is still a question as we are looking at the viewer counts week to week. And recently it appears there might be for behind which it in places that are syndicated. So we'll have to kind of watch that. But maybe it's just me. Maybe you just want to see more. But when they start to tank after they've been going up, it's kind of an interesting problem. When you start hearing about YouTube coming really 6 years late to take away my content, that's pretty impressive what the control that they have over information that you're going to get. And the AI would be scraping the internet. If my content's not there, there will be no benefit of it at all, if you notice. And so you're going to be forced into getting information that is completely censored. It's controlled. It's manipulated. As we just found out with the Google Gemini, you couldn't get a white folk's face to come anywhere in anybody in history. You couldn't even get the AI, the generated Gemini, to give you white vanilla ice cream. and they got caught. And it sucked $96 billion worth of value out of Google. I'm hoping that was a big slap on their face. I doubt it. But this is the thing that we don't understand. I'm actually starting to question whether these so-called news articles, as we heard, Microsoft has AI writing the articles. The articles are sounding kind of ridiculous, actually. And I'm beginning to wonder, is the sources of what I call the news is just an AI-generated manipulation that I'm commenting to? In that regard, I still feel relatively safe because I'm talking about looking at the news that they want you to know and then looking through, peering through that to find the principles that are you going to be able to use to avoid the direction they're telling you all this is going. You can find the simulcasts of this broadcast on Rumble in various places. So get you on over to Sound Minds and watch and pick up the link tree lists of those simulcasters. There's more of them now coming, and I thank you all for doing that. And it's such that the low bit rate stream for the connectivity challenge, such as myself, over at Grey Dude's channel. He gives you a little bit better access to that for those of us who can't do the high bandwidth. And thank you all for the support. Again, folks, remember, donate as you can. There's still a lot of work to do to bring the RLM into the sewer of the global matrix. Again, because the matrix is not a movie. We need to have unfettered access, view, content creation, and access to this. And it has to come in many different places as they start locking the doors. We don't even know who is on our side anymore. I don't have any other answer. No one's talked to me about much of this, that we have to do it ourselves, essentially. Any more benefit taken from anybody is going to be used against us eventually. No different than a drug dealer. I mean, look what they've done with these phones. Amazing. I keep telling you, these are phones are the chain that binds you eventually. In fact, if I get to it, I should be able to get to it. Some attorney general just said so. You can't not have it, and you can't have it. Pretty interesting how they've locking us in. But, not sure where I am on this next story here anyway, but it has the faint stench of, not bong water, the stench of cognitive napalm. As we read, the association of cannabis use with cardiovascular outcomes among U.S. adults has been reported. Listen carefully to these authors, Abra M. Jeffers and Stanton Glantz. I guess I'll leave there because that Glantz is the one I'm focusing on later on this discussion here, but originally published 28 February 2024, the abstract. We examined the association between cannabis use and cardiovascular outcomes among the general population, among never tobacco smokers, and among younger individuals. Method and results, we turn down here. This is a population-based cross-sectional study from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey for the 27 American states and two territories. We assessed the association of cannabis use, the number of days of cannabis use in the past 30 days, with self-reported cardiovascular outcomes, coronary heart disease, myocardial infarction, stroke, and a composite measure of all three. We reported these analysis among non-tobacco smokers and among men 55 years old and women 65 years old who are at risk for premature cardiovascular disease. I'll end that to read there, but the general review isn't my problem on this one, however accurate that conclusion. My problem is what I left out, that the population was based in a cross-sectional survey that was done from 2016 to 2020 data. So why stop at the 2020 data and then purport to assess the very same harms found from the jab delivered at warp speed? As I said, what happened here, you know, when we were going through all this, given those early clinical observations, so-called the study of this kind, by the same government advocating the pharmaceutical weapons here, no less. This becomes the scorched earth method of cover-up, as I was explaining, all about how this would probably come down, that makes the findings of causation about impossible. They can now, in the reverse case, exposing the harms, blame cannabis, rightly or wrongly, as the culprit, as they use the undisclosed yearly increasing virulent seasonal flu I reported on leading into 2020 to call COVID-19. The deadly common cold, generic symptoms without a non-fraudulently demonstrated cause promoted by the experts. And the sources of funding for this were disclosed. The Jeffries was supported Dr. Jeffries was supported by National Cancer Institute grant T32, CA113710. Dr. Jeffries and Dr. Kahani were supported by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute grant number, and then funding organizations are public institutions here. And we see Dr. Glantz serves as a consultant to the World Health Organization outside the submitted world. So we see a direct connection to the problem, the usurpers, the very criminals that were executing this warp speed attack. All this is the same government funding to bring it forward. This is why I've been advocating the black and white to avoid it. This is, again, not your opinion. You can go back to the duties. The government and the cohorts here have definitely shown that they can't be trusted here, and predictably so, as I've done, over all these years now. And again, in this, you don't want to create a dire question after the fact that these deniers would not admit to exist or would not help to resolve as well. They're not. So don't bring that up. You just have to know enough here, as I've been explaining to you ahead of time, know enough to also how to properly challenge these guys, these folks, so that there is no fight. We're not in a fight, but we show the government dereliction of duty. As I just mentioned, YT is taking out what they call medical misinformation, and I'm speaking about laws. They have no context what they're doing. You just talk about some words, that's good enough, and then they think you're giving medical misinformation. I don't give medical information at all. You talk about the facts, the news, the notice, what it's doing. The censors have no context. If it's just something that they need to tamp down to push their WHO agenda, which usurps your local laws, they're going to do it. And there apparently is no way to stop this. So the best thing is to not get in the fight, as I explained to this relative to your local communicable disease law. So because these psychopaths don't appear to be stopping anytime soon, we see vaccinations may be intentionally injected into lettuce and tomatoes. The Republican representative suggests during a recent legislative session, Tennessee State Representative Scott Sipicki, a Republican, raised concerns at a House Health Committee hearing about the possibility of vaccines being intentionally added to common foods like lettuce, tomatoes, and tobacco. And in part, this is not a new story. It's interesting, though, the legislator is talking about it. That's nice to hear, but we kind of hear what's going on. We look at what's going on. There's not much reference to the very laws they make and how this would tell them. Their laws would say that these are not lettuce, tomatoes, or tobacco anymore when they do this. They are drug delivery systems or medical devices, and those have special meanings as well. So we have vaccines in our veggies, apparently, if this is going to go through. They're citing a research. He mentioned that the University of California, Riverside, had perfected vaccine lettuce. He also referenced similar experiments conducted on tomatoes by the University of California, Berkeley, and by the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company on tobacco products, remarks that were met with disapproval from the Democratic chairman, John Ray Clemens, regarding legality and ethics. Boy, aren't those on slippery slopes anymore. We're not even referencing the law about this, but regarding, let alone the ethics of it all. In a discussion about the potential of plants being used as vaccine mediums, oh, now they're not their plants. As I was telling you, these are delivery devices, medical devices doing this. Sipicki told Clemens, quote, "I'm not arguing that point," when asked about the legality. He emphasized the need for legislation to identify if vaccines are present in grocery store produce, suggesting such plants be treated as pharmaceuticals for dosage accuracy. And that should send up a big red flag right there. They do a little bit more discussion on this. Yet they reference the COVID connection. As I said, this was the COVID, so-called, is the door opening of the door for all this corruption and all this harm to come in and all this adulteration to your food. This is going to be coming underneath those modernization acts I told you in 2010 as well. But in September 2021, UC Riverside researchers explored the possibility of using edible plants like lettuce as mRNA vaccine factories. Vaccine factories. a method akin to the mRNA technology, akin, let's read that, akin to the mRNA technology in COVID-19 vaccines. In a follow-up query, Clemens asked Sepecki about the availability of such vaccinated lettuce in Tennessee grocery stores, humorously pondering if this could lead to pharmacies like Walgreens featuring a refrigerated section for these products. So I guess we just should keep joking on this, folks. These are not vaccines when applied generally without a doctor's oversight, the doctor of which has exclusive jurisdiction regarding care with the patient's consent. That's the other thing missing here. And where's the due process protections, in particular, without any suspicion of being a contagious principle required by existing law? And where did the other treatment choices go that the law provides to the suspected patient or principle of contagion? Also, as a matter of law, if you remember, these mRNA substances akin to COVID-19 vaccines, so-called, are bioweapons and prohibited. Remember, just go to 18 U.S.C. 175 to see the prohibition, but to get there, you have to get Title 50, look for the exceptions of what bioweapons, and they have to have that dual, that all-important dual use that you saw Rand Paul hand Fraudchi during those testimonies. He was able to make congressional or Senate testimony, so it was a dual use, and Rand didn't stop it one little bit, and I showed you how quick it was to do that. Just go to your communicable disease law. Even in D.C., it's all the same. But no, don't talk to me about legalities, the lawmaker says. The lawmaker must be a psychopathic, democidal murderer, it seems to me, if you're not going to look at the law, don't care. Yeah, this is pretty serious stuff. But anyway, right there in Tennessee, you all think you've got a Republican state, you think this is going on, and they're talking about things that don't even exist. There's no way to... How many heads of lettuce are you going to eat? These lettuces become these big pills, if you will. They're medical. They should be in a bottle. So they're misframed. Euphemism or you. We joke a lot about it. But here's what these people are doing. These lawlessness under the color of doing law. Don't even refer to their own law is the other thing. It really gets me. I've been asking y'all really look at that black and white. Is that it's going to be your only option to be able to stop what they're doing. You don't take your opinion to read what five duties are that have failed. And at least if it doesn't get you remedy as far as you can get back on them. You can stop them until they can conform their activities to that black and white. And if enough of you starts coming to the fire, if you will, then that's going to help a lot. And I'm hoping, beyond hope, I suppose, now that a lot of people would do that and just would shut this whole thing down. But it hasn't happened. So they're coming back. I told you they're going to come back. If we answered wrong, they'll answer right. They'll give you the right answer to the wrong question. And we're going to be in a little bit of trouble. So if that all that doesn't kill you, but slowly, maybe this will too. The U.S. judge gives go-ahead to execution by new method. The state of Alabama may now put a convicted murderer to death using nitrogen gas, despite concerns voiced by U.N. experts. It wasn't just U.N. experts. You read the story. The veterinaries were complaining about this one as well. As I keep telling you, all these things with military... The warp speed attack was a veterinary. That's all about the animals. They think you're a human capital, human being an animal. And that's how we're treated. But a federal judge in the U.S. has given the green light to the country's first ever execution using nitrogen gas, set to be carried out later this month in the state of Alabama. The convict's lawyers have argued that the state is planning to use their client as a test subject. And also cited the American Veterinary Medical Association 2020 recommendation that nitrogen hypoxia should not be used as a means of euthanizing mammals other than pigs, as it could create an anoxic environment that is distressing for some species. Meanwhile, in a statement published last Wednesday, an appeal of UN experts expressed concern that nitrogen hypoxia would result in a painful and humiliating death, noting that there is no scientific evidence to prove otherwise. Well, isn't that what we were asking for COVID swindle? You had a non-fraudulent demonstration to prove that the virus does exist, because if we can't see it, doesn't mean it's not there. So anyway, moving on. During a hearing that preceded the decision, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall's office argued that the novel method of execution would, quote, cause unconsciousness within seconds, and cause death within minutes. Clearly, he did not say how many, and that becomes an issue here. In his ruling on Wednesday, U.S. District Judge R. Austin Huffaker refused to grant an injunction to stop Smith's execution that was scheduled for the 25th of January. In other words, it had already happened. And the U.S. UN experts aside, the U.S. judiciary allowed and is allowing the slow and painful deaths in the great Kobe swindle. Lincoln's military veterinary protocols or enforce an effect for human animals' organs from the pigs being acceptable. But what is the problem actually with the state killing someone with an arguably quicker painful method than the Kobe swindle victims were using citizens' equal rights at 42 U.S.C. 1981 is to enjoy pains and punishments and wrongful extortions of any kind, isn't it? So isn't that guy getting his civil rights? Didn't the judge now order that? And apparently that bar member judge didn't see it any different when he did so. And the attorney general, heavy on the military general, saw fit to do the same thing. And if I read correctly after the fact of this execution, minutes turned out to be 20. The execution took about 20 minutes, just a bit shorter than the warp speed jab did, I suppose, as we watched just abhorrent, inhumane, if you will. If you're going to go human, inhumane, what goes on? And so, this is our judicial and our prison system. And remember, British courts have said that the United States system is inhumane. Its prison system is inhumane. I've identified the bar association members as being promoting the future they want, which includes eugenics, includes euthanasia. You see that in Canada. And so this is a global thing, these members sitting in judicial offices. So moving from the state doing that to what I would feel I know, I would say make more sure about what I know about what to do in this next story. Bill Gates' self-spreading mRNA vaccines are ready to deploy. If you think these guys are waiting around, nope, Bill Gates is right there, the doctor that he is, the philanthropath that he is. A new form of self-spreading mRNA vaccines has been developed that will allow governments to vaccinate entire populations without the need for injections or individuals' consent. Let's look at that. We've already talked a little bit about this as well with the other couple of stories we've heard in the last few months. But self-spreading sounds like a virus, doesn't it? A contagion needing to be stopped, correct? We look at law, local disease law. Communicable disease law says the contagion needs to be stopped. The self-spreadingness of this sounds like the virus that needs to be stopped. That would make Bill Gates, the principle of contagion in the communicable disease law requires the government to immunize us from him by stopping him forever. The nitrogen now is not off the table, I suppose. But I think I can stop here. I was going to read more on this story. You need to read more, as always. But, you know, folks, it's pretty clear what needs to happen here. Pretty clear who the contagions are in the world. And we need to step up for ourselves, protect ourselves from them. And there's mechanisms we might be able to start using to get people to start seeing that, more people to start seeing that. So someone who has been put on ice figuratively as well, moving over through this, what should be happening maybe to the philanthropaths of the world. Assange hearing shows ruling class is a fool of S**T, says Roger Waters. The WikiLeaks founder remains in legal limbo after a British court refused to grant or deny his extradition appeal. Talking about inhumane treatment here. The Bar Association is consistently evil, if I could put it that. Remember, they're also in their House delegates' resolutions from way back, many, many decades back. They agree to promote sustainable development. If you think that your judiciary was independent, it's not yours and it's not independent. It's the future that they want. WikiLeaks founder remains in legal limbo after the British courts refused to grant to deny his appeal on this. Quote, none of these hearings should last more than 5 minutes, Walters told Rattensney on Saturday. Quote, they should go in and say, obviously he's not guilty of any crime, let the prisoner go, and that will be the end of it. Now, I've so told you that answer would be a habeas corpus, first of all, and I'm not understanding where that hasn't gone and been tested, but at any rate, they're doing it their way. These people, he says, don't believe in the rule of law, the legendary rocker continued, referring to senior judges Victoria Sharp and Jeremy Johnson, who will ultimately decide whether to grant Assange another appeal. After 2 days of oral arguments, the court adjourned on Wednesday without granting or refusing Assange a fresh appeal against his extradition to the United States. If the appeal fails, Assange will apply to the European Court of Human Rights and seek an emergency order to stop the extradition while it considers the case. Assange's wife, Stella, said earlier this week, she's also saying he's not going to really last. He's not going to make it through the United States courts if he gets here. But delay here, listen very carefully what they were saying. He was saying, Roger Waters was saying before, it should have been 5 minutes. This thing should have really been over. I've looked at a lot of the facts. I've read a little bit of the court cases on cases similar to this as far as what they would do where it's alleged that a extradition destination is inhumane. And the UK courts have said where he would be going is, despite, and yet they listen to assurances by the United States government. But the delay of the justice here is just injustice, pure and simple. That's just a principle of law. No rule of law. There shouldn't be a rule of law. It should be law. And they don't do that. But understand the treachery here by those purporting to be independent, free to administer the rule of law, rebrand of justice. They're not. It's a man that's presumed innocent is tortured to an ill mental and physical health here in jail for 5 years. More when one figures in his stay in the embassy, which also required an immediate answer. Even the wrong answer, see if it's the wrong answer they can appeal. They're not giving him one. So not to allow it, if not an immediate answer, bad answer, would get him to the international court. Then we have the UK courts have previously determined that in a couple cases, the prison system here is inhumane. It shouldn't even have been even on the table any longer, like Roger Waters said, 5 minutes. Habeas corpus, show us how you have the right to hold the body. Well, he's presumed innocent. They don't have a right to hold the body. They claim he can run, but they've never had anything justifiably against him. Again, it's looking past his right as a journalist and not being the party who took the information from a place that he shouldn't have. He wasn't underneath that. He's a receiver, like every journalist was, like every media corporation in history has been. So, just on the inhumane nature, Assange, I would say, would think, should have been released on those grounds alone. If there was a continuing thing, they would do like anybody else, just keep him on an agreement to not run away. But, you know, this is the thing. I think he realizes, and we see it in the UK courts, there's no justice. And we're way past it right now, and no one's really talking about that part. Roger Waters is pointing this out. I hope more people pick this up. So, again, just a disgrace. It's not justice. It's injustice. It's a disgrace. Everyone serves the interests of the king, though they will deny it. The king is culpable in all this as well in the UK. The injustice is done at his bidding and on his watch. There's more angles here to get after him to make a real noise. People, I think, had better start clawing at the global prison right now that they're making while they have the chance, because they will have achieved complete unaccountability, or as is being evidenced in the Palestine and the Palestinians dying in the open-air prison when establishing the Zionist Federation movement today. Again, the king did that there. But today is maintained by the United States government and its inhumane proclivities greater than the UK. If you can't see the incestuousness of all this entirety here. So what do I suggest on this as an idea, the most influential of you for that are out there for starters, because of the most influential have a ready celebrity like Roger Waters does, even in the negative. Again, you just don't talk your opinion. You go to the black and white. You see what the standards are supposed to be. You just don't talk about down about a judge. You show how that should, how that can't be, how they're not following their own law. You make a statement. But the most influential out there should be making these statements because they do have that celebrity. And they need to do this with every perception of injustice against the Assange and flood those institutions, not just the courts, but those that support the courts, those that are supportive of the courts, flood those institutions with a written objection to the apparent injustice. So, again, it takes more than just sitting back and having an opinion. Explain your loss of trust and confidence based on all that. And the global embarrassment. Start bringing this up. I'm talking equity principles here. If you don't hear them, I mean, these are principles of the foundations of how you bring an argument, if it's an argument, the complaint to be acted upon. And that you feel, you also would say then that you feel vulnerable, that this oppression, that there's this, you see this oppression and defenselessness. In the very least, you say these things. And why do I go there? I've told you before, in so-called rule of law and democracy brand of injustice, their generals, their attorney generals, are to be stopping oppression and defenselessness. That's why you go there. That's black and white. You know, it's not my opinion. It's what I've read. How did I find that? Well, I had to come up against an oppression and being defenseless against the federal government coming after our mining claim. And I had to seek these things out. Does it get me the justice? Well, no, because there's no one going to respond to it. Like, there was no one to respond to the disconnection of my essential services, even though we see that that's a humanitarian violation, it violates even the law of war. No, there's no remedies for these things. What you do, though, is you set the record that that's what's going on. And I can only hope that at some point that's enough there to get more people to bring it on. If you don't say it, then it doesn't go forward. And a letter of complaint should be sent at least in triplicate to the court, to the court oversight agency, and the king over there in the UK. And there's more places to send these copies, but that's for starters, to keep the letter short and to the point. You don't want to go on and on. There's enough of us out there to make a different point on every different letter, and you just dog that. You just get all of them, and don't let the answer be that the other guy does it like you'll do. You go send these to the institutions or some other guy. Track those down, because this is beyond the justice. It's a breach duty, the violation of which here concerns everyone, and it causes immediate irreparable harm, and no one has an immunity from that. And I say it that way to, and I equate it to what I've told you as well, the United States Code 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4. If you go read those to see the relative culpabilities of officials, once you tell them of a wrong, and it's an objective wrong, you don't make this stuff up or opinions, you show that it's just violative of certain principles, a certain guidelines, certain duties, obligations, and you lay that on them. And you'll see under 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4 that if they're supposed to do something, once it's before them, if they can't do it, they're supposed to hand it to someone that can. The only buck passing is the one that can actually do something about the problem, and then that party, that official, is supposed to do it. If they don't, they become culpable in the first instance. And this is a very interesting and powerful point. If more people are doing it, it's futile, it seems, if only one of us does it, but the more of us that do it. And I think on this international stage, this is like running for office. You get to have a podium to stand on now for a short time, and get your point across to the public. They're now attentive to what you're saying. So this is your opportunity here. And they'll try to pass that buck, but the next agent that doesn't help bring the prior culpable into order, one would give that notice of that improperness, even a criminal misdirection, as we can see, would be explained in 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4. So, that's just a reference for United States law. I'm sure there's references that you can find in all the other countries. But this is what the global people should be bringing in and witnessing this on this as they see they are being brought vulnerable and defenseless to these types of oppressions that come under color of authority, color of law. And they're not, actually. But then also, because of this, the way this government works, be prepared to dog them. You want to be honorable all the time. You don't want to be insulted. There is a respect you can give them, but only so far. And stay on point to the ongoing injustice. Like I've said, the law has provided no remedy. Dispute any law to the contrary, but don't miss the focus. Don't get lost in what you should be focusing on. Again, I said, understand what I'm saying here. Not just one of you, all of you send a letter. Think about what they're doing to this man, what they've done to this man, and how that reflects on all of us. Not as the doer, as the what that it's going to give the license to the government to do that you see escalating against us every day. But as you go en masse to send these letters on point, by the black and white, chapter and verse, so to say, your correspondence has become the massive tractors sitting in the offices that clog that system and just won't go away. Not just for the clogging here that we can do, but don't turn from the mission to obtain the justice, not just from Assange, but for yourself and everyone else. This is what equity is really about. It's kind of interesting. You can't walk into an equity jurisprudence and make something for your own. It has to have a larger public, if you will, general application. And so this is what I'm essentially speaking to. It doesn't sound like it. That's what it is. You can go and find these. When you read enough about equity and what is required, you'll see in short order, like I've said this before, just go find in a Wikipedia, just go find about injunctions and see what the elements are. There's like four or five elements. One is it has to be a public good that you're doing. So you're not just speaking for yourself. And it's kind of a nice way to go about things. You're doing this on behalf of the rest too. But if you all do it, you'll create an impression of a massive convoy witnessing this corruption, descending upon the system for its maladministration and the loss of trust and confidence in it, and irreparably so when you put this together correctly. Just by the mere appearance of impropriety is your measure as well. Find that, because it's very powerful when you see it. They don't have to really do anything. They just have to start messing around enough that it kills in you the idea that there could be, that they're trustworthy, that you can place your confidence in them. That's all it really takes. So these officials, I'm sure, if we know, and we give up because they want to pass the buck a bit, but this 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4, it shows you that there's no buck to pass. It has to go right to the one that's going to do it. There can't be a delay here. And when they don't, then they're not going to like the fact that you're dogging them. They don't like this dogged scrutiny that we need to be putting on them. And they don't want to work, and they don't want to get anything done or to serve people in their cursed jobs. They want to keep the problem because that is what their cursed job's about, right? So this is the other insidiousness about this. But those are the buttons you're going to be pushing here, as I've been talking. Don't stop pushing them. Unless you have a better answer. I say someone will shrug their shoulders, but doing nothing is not the answer here. So went a lot upon this. I think this Assange thing is a critical witness. It's probably on par. I know it's going to sound odd, but it's on par with what the Zionists are doing right now too. These violations to us is to everybody. We all are seen in this trap, this open air prison that these people that have authority under the color of authority are really not who they say they are. And I cannot believe that anybody can look at this Assange story and say the UK judges are humane. When the man's health and mental health as well deteriorates to the point his wife is saying he's not going to make it in the new, he's not going to make the move. No one's looking over that. Again, high crimes and misdemeanors. So bottom line is that you get enough people, that convoy out there coming down on you, rolling down to be the witness of the problem, those people that are standing up against it, that protest, these pieces of paper can start to do that. It sends that simple notice. I'm there and I'm witnessing the crimes. And if they're objective, they're not an opinion that they can turn from. Oh, the king may say, oh, we got our system. No, that's not good enough because they're doing it for him. And even around the country, around these other countries, you'll see the governor general is what is gives the royal assent to things locally. This is not disconnected. There is no independence. But these government oppressors don't want witnesses to their crimes, and it's not just the military. The whole government, that's right, the stinking abyss, as we can read, federally funded United States Institute of Peace calls for collaborations between the public and private sectors to address disinformation. If you haven't been listening to me for very long, you see that whole paragraph there at LEAD is completely what I've been telling you about sustainable development and how they defeat you. Now, U.S. federal institution is getting dangerously close to advocating for restrictions on speech. We have learned a lot about this from Twitter and Facebook files, but this time the pressure is expressed openly, albeit in a careful and subtle way. The United States Institute of Peace, USIP, funded by Congress and promoting the country's interests worldwide on the declared premise of opposing violent conflict, is now taking on the task of helping preserve election integrity by censoring speech. Let me just add this, the Covey swindle, when they took away my voice that shows you how to avoid the fraud and avoid their bioweapon, that's what they're saying here. They're going to make the censoring my speech to bring people into irreparable harm. And so don't underestimate what we're talking about censorship in elections. We're talking about everywhere the government gets involved and has an agenda that is forcing it. I don't know of any subject matter it doesn't have an agenda, even if I don't look at the usurpation of the sustainable development and the foreigners, the usurpation coming in to overwhelm and take over your country. You think the border people are a problem? You don't even understand the attack that's going on. That's partly why they're there. They're just another symptom of the internal cancer that's taking us out as well, and the people are not responding. As one way of the ways to address election misinformation, what a nonprofit called Digital Action is doing, apparently an umbrella organization for as many as 180 civil society groups around the world, Digital Action seeks to hold social media companies and governments accountable to protect the integrity of elections, writes USIP. Can we all laugh? Why is that just accountability there? There's no accountability. You're watching it everywhere. Very little at all, if any. But anyway, moving on here. Maybe free speech advocates should keep an eye on Digital Action and, if necessary, hold it to account. And that's the punchline to this whole story right there. Exactly. We need to know who is the real actors here that are the principle of contagion beyond viruses, but to these ideas that are destroying, subverting, subsuming the America that we thought existed. And I told you, I think I've seen the America that exists. It's still there, but no one understands how to get at it. It's right there. And it's in this land disposal law. In fact, I was just talking to some colleagues here just a couple of days ago and being able to go through a couple of things, having them see a patent and actually it's real. You know, oh wow, it's real. Yeah. And then going through that, it was able to expose how powerful the organic America is and how these authorities, even the judiciary, is not supposed to touch that. And so there's a big deal going on that I can't even approach until someone gets involved, that we're being taken down by a bunch of usurpers that don't have a right and no one knows how to stop them, and it's right there in front of us to do that. So let's hold it accountable. Maybe, folks. Just maybe. That's what we should do. Maybe. Maybe not, but maybe so. I'm advocating for maybe so. If it's not on a big thing that's across the pond like Assange, it's going to be for you locally where you live, and they're coming against you somehow, some way to take something. And I'm suggesting strongly to look very carefully. There is an America there. It's in the black and white. I've seen it. I just can't get people to get past their own prejudices and start to identify the roots of it and then hold it for all your life's worth, because that's where we're at. That's where we are on the land. Talk about, oh, man on the land. No, you want to get to the land. You got to, in fact, it came out in the discussion a couple days ago. You got to have a property you identify before you get the rights. And when they stuck you into things that don't have property attached, you don't have a right. Think about those little truths right there. And I'm asking you to go find your properties so that you then can reinstitute rights that cannot be give subject to extortion. The first official that tries it becomes the felon. And I haven't said anything right there in that little 10 seconds that I haven't been talking about for over a decade. That's how simple this really is. It's just not enough people see it. And so these criminals get, all these official criminals get away with it. But, they want to focus on lack of trust and confidence. I say go ahead and do that, but find out in the black white how you're going to be able to do that to make it stick. Then they know that you're serious. Then a whole bunch of you, they got the mass of the governed. The consent of the governed can be withheld by them over the authorita. So you'd want to be always looking for the trust and confidence as your guide, too. And it's not just you noticing that. There's others noticing. This is what's kind of neat coming on. I hope more quickly. Lockstep U.S. support for Israel eroding confidence of Americans in own government. I read that and said, whatever it takes, folks, because we have no government we can trust or have confidence in. When you understand, at least, or you've listened to me at any time at all, you start to hear the documents are there to prove this is an untrustworthy condition, and we've allowed it, and they put on us the obligation and duty to stop it, and we have it. And so that's the license that they're using to do it. That's our consent by not moving against it. We're so out of character and sorts about that and out of practice. I don't even know that most people know where to begin, and I'm kind of lost a little bit myself. When you have a bunch of people running around like their heads cut off, how are you supposed to make any inroad when they are organized and you're not? It's very difficult as far as I can tell. So we step back, we try to protect ourselves. We learn how we present that example out and hope others will pick it up. That's a tenuous thing, as we saw Kobe swindle. So there's a bunch of things we have to learn as people, how to work together, how to be together. Even if we have different opinions, that shouldn't stop the principles that come in to override and usurp us, occupy us. Again, lockstep U.S. support for Israel. Amidst a broader lack of trust in U.S. institutions, the United States government has undermined its own credibility by repeatedly backing Israel's dubious claims. Now, will it prove to be a fatal mistake? And I say to that, it's time to make it a fatal mistake. A principle, on just the principles alone. But we want to read the latest development in the saga of Western countries' support for the United Nations Relief and Workers Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, UNRWA, the National Intelligence Council of the United States has ascribed, quote, low confidence to Israel's claim that the small number of organizations, small members participated in the Hamas surprise attack, October 7th attack on Israel. The finding was reported this week in U.S. media. Israel's claim that some 0.4% of UNRWA's more than 30,000 employees were involved in the armed operation dominated headlines just days after the UN-backed International Court of Justice instructed Israel to take measures to prevent genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip. The accusations against UNRWA led the United States and more than a dozen Western allies to withdraw financial support for the agency, which is a lifeline for millions of Palestinian refugees. But it now appears that the decision may have been premature. The U.S. intelligence experts publicly cast doubts on Israel's incendiary claim. The fallout from the development means Americans' trust in their government is reduced. The U.S. will appease Israel because at this point the alliance is stronger than NATO, and just don't see the U.S. breaking it, says journalist, author, and political commentator Dan Lazar, adding that the Israeli assertions are difficult to back up. Quote, I think the U.S. will go along in undermining UNRWA, Lazar said, despite the potentially embarrassing finding by the U.S. intelligence. Ultimately, the U.S. is going to do whatever Israel wants it to do, and this is a classic case of tail wagging the dog. Michelle Witt agreed, claiming the United States lockstep subservience to Israel, even in apparent defiance of its own intelligence community, powerfully discredits the United States government in the eyes of its own people. It has to, quote, it has to have the effect of eroding confidence among the American people in the American government speaking truth to its population, said Witt. Because we can see Israel keeps making these accusations, we keep acting on these accusations, and then they keep turning out to be not true. Many of the more outlandish Israel assertions surrounding Hamas's October 7th attack have also been undermined or debunked. Claims that Hamas fighters engaged in mass killing and beheading of Israeli babies were found to be based on unreliable testimony. That didn't stop President Biden himself from falsely insisting he saw photos of the alleged atrocity, as well as the series of controversial claims defending its military operations in the Gaza Strip, which some international experts have claimed amounts to genocide. As the country's military destroyed Al-Shifa Hospital, the largest medical facility in Gaza. The claim that the hospital had served as a command and control center for Hamas militants. The investigations by U.S. media outlets found no evidence for the claim. Observers have long pointed out the United States faces a crisis of confidence in its institutions, with the approval ratings from everything from courts to Congress that are at record lows, and the phenomenon has generated widespread cynicism, with occasionally even results in political violence. Witt claimed the United States backing of Israel, despite the repeated debunking of its rhetoric, can't help but further damage the faith of the United States. And I say I should hope so, and sufficiently so that the people here, we the people, lay down their fabricated partisan differences here and join together with objective principles to end the oppressive usurpation destroying everyone. This is one of the themes going on here. At this time, when it's now publicly advertised, promoted, and I don't think this is untrue, that most people don't have faith and trust in their government, this is the time you act. You don't stand and try to say, oh, there's when there's really no will for it. Now may be the time to start acting. When I say get together, this is maybe the time. And maybe forever hold your peace and your chains on your wrists if we don't here. The phenomenon has generated widespread cynicism with the occasionally even resulting in political violence is a real serious problem, and that's they beating us. So while the people are divided, fighting amongst themselves, the Zionists and others of usurpation predilection here wagged the U.S. dog. And so how do the people like being someone's female dog, as I guess came to my mind? Quote, more and more people can see that there are interested in that and that has to go to have an effect. She insisted, you know, we have all this hand-wringing. Oh, faith in our institutions. Well, this is part of the reason. It's part of that erosion, she says, I would think. And so, again, this hand-wringing really isn't taking action. And then it causes the very thing, as I've been saying, your non-action causes and continues the very action that you're wringing your hands over. So, again, this is that self-inflicted fecklessness, that is fecklessness representation in, for, and by the people that we are seeing. And this article concludes in that the steadfast U.S. government support for Israel comes even as half of the Americans agreed Israel is committing genocide in Gaza in a recent survey. The poll suggests opposition to Israel is a mainstream sentiment of the United States, if not a majority position. But lest Americans think that they live in a democracy, both major Party candidates for the presidency expressed strong support for the longtime U.S. ally. This is no more than the Uniparty. In this case, it's not Putin that's our problem here. Trump and Biden are entrenched in both, lest Americans think that they live in a constitutional republic, God forbid, the form of government in these post founding father Lincolnized military districts called states now. Again, we missed the organic disconnection. And that when the government did that and we didn't respond, and maybe how could we, because we just lost. Can't do this by guns at this point, even though there's maybe the most in the world in this place. You can only shoot one at a time. They've got such far more powerful weaponry, and then they got cognitive warfare against them. Again, we're divided as a people. This Lincolnization military districts overthrew the states. As well, the state now moves from being a state, organic state of politics. It's a state or condition, if you go look at the word definition for state. And it's not a governmental establishment by a body politic any longer, if you look very carefully at that as well. And this is similar to the model, if you say, what Israel is doing to the Palestinians through a corrupt vultures here of a feather. It's broad spectrum and global controls that are going on. There was a good descriptive article here, if you read through it, to use for expanding our awareness of international principles as well at play, which the Occupying Barras Association here reports already take notice of, and I've talked to you about this for years. Read Colorado versus Kansas in 1907, but to see that, there's one sentence. It says the courts always take cognizance of international law, and then I would add, be careful to think it's out there. There's also international, it's called intranational, but it's international law between the way they set up the United States of America with its district in Washington, D.C., and then the states. And then you have the states are considered abroad each other. For those of you that want to speak admiralty, they're abroad each other. Even though they're touching each other, there is this separation. And that's the way the organic establishment was, that was fused together underneath the Lincolnization and the militarization of the districts. As I've read the documentation, even particularly for Texas. Don't mess with Texas. No, they messed with you a long time ago. I talked to you about that. And getting onto the despicable corrupt vultures of a feather, the Bar Association members are here in all this. Again, confidence in your judiciary, confidence in the attorneys, confidence in those Bar Association members that are in positions of authority. It immunized as well. Georgia AG claims not having a phone makes you a criminal. How's that, folks? How they pull this stuff off is beyond me. But that's where they go. The ubiquity of smartphones is causing some to pine for simpler times when we didn't have the entire history of mankind's knowledge at our fingertips on devices that tracked our every move. There is a growing trend, particularly among young people, to use non-smartphones or basic phones. The reasons range from aesthetic to financial to concerns for mental health. Haven't you heard me say this very same thing? Get rid of your phones. Get to the simple things. But according to the Georgia Attorney General, Chris Carr, having a basic phone or a phone with no data on it or no phone at all in the year 2024 is evidence of criminal intent. The AG's position poses grave dangers for all Georgians' constitutional rights. And that's the one, Georgia in the United States. Last month, Deputy Attorney General John Fowler argued that in the state court that the mere possession of the basic cell phone indicates criminal intent to commit conspiracy under Georgia's Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organization Statute, better known as RICO. Civil liberties groups are decrying the AG's argument, and the court's action is a violation of constitutional rights under the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. In an open letter, the Attorney General Carr to the groups wrote, quote, it is alarming that prosecutors sworn to uphold the Constitution would even make such arguments, let alone that a sitting judge would seriously entertain them and allow the phone to be searched and potentially admitted into evidence without any indication that it was used for illegal purposes. All I can say to that, the vultures of a feather will flock together. These judges, these attorneys, they're all part of the Bar Association, and that's what's going on. They're upholding a non-constitutional democracy, if I can go there, a non-constitutional districting, military districting. They take an oath to a constitution that actually is not in force and effect. And then they're a foreign agency. I've talked to you, one state that delineated these usurpers came into a state and arguably transformed substituted the permanent laws of the people of that state. And they moved themselves as foreign corporations, which the bar asked was at the time, from corporations law, they turned it into domestic corporations that they are now. Foreigners turned to domestic by the law, so-called, and then they changed the law and substituted for the whole laws of the permanent laws of the people for a Model Business Corporation Act, these people, these usurpers, these criminals. This has been going on since the 50s. And they did that in a number of states. And I have to say, maybe that's where people get the idea you live, you know, there's a corporation there. Yeah. It's actually following the rules for corporations. But don't approach it that way, because they won't recognize that. Like I said, go to the black and white and approach it that way because that's the place that they're stuck. Anyway, it's interesting the covers that have been put over us and how oblivious that we are that can be found if you do enough research. And I'm asking us, we're running out of time, if you'll take my words as the lead in the path you need, use that and start there. Maybe backtrack as you can go and find what I'm saying, but move forward now because these people are way ahead of us on how they're picking our bones in a seemingly endless source of eroding trust and confidence because hope springs eternal. Another follow-up, Florida lawmakers went and done what conservative Canadian lawmakers just found themselves between the rock and a hard place on, anti-digital ID or pro-online age verification, and that it can't be done. That's what Canadian lawmakers figured out, but leave it to the lawless makers in Florida to infringe anyway. Florida lawmakers passed social media age verification online ID law ignoring constitutional concerns. It's now up to the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to decide if he's going to sign the Privacy Invasion and Restrictive Bill. Florida's legislative body has passed a bill mandated online ID checks and age verification, even though the critics say it raises constitutional, that is, First Amendment issues tied primarily to privacy and anonymous speech. But again, DeSantis out there campaigning, came back, suspends his campaign, and then he actually didn't come out and make a big deal about saying, I'm not going to allow this. And I predicted this before, so again, we may find, oh, we're Republican, conservative, and then they do this. No one is thinking anymore. Not only is it impossible, but it's no one's thinking. They're wasting their time on a lot of these things. And yet, they're not, because that's what now the states are about, implementing the tools for the military to keep control and track of you, as we've talked endlessly almost about cognitive warfare and the multidimensional battle space that's going on and the cyberspace that's going on, and that's all a tool for them to watch you, to keep track of every extremist now since created in the 9/11 PATRT Act. You criminals. You're all misdemeanors. I keep saying that. I don't know. People don't come back to me and read it. It's, oh, you know, you're right or no, you're wrong. No. No one really follows this up. You may agree with me because you know that when you do go look, you're going to see it, but no one really kind of rolls their sleeves up and really sticks that in their brain that they can see the black and white. And that's not a joke. That's not an opinion. That's exactly what's going on. And then they get to leapfrog into today, what are things I'm telling you. This is what the internet was set up to do. And they're doing it. And DeSantis, the conservative, is, oh, I got to sign it or not. He doesn't come out and say, no, this is the most invasive thing I've ever seen. No, we're not going to do that. Why don't you legislators, straighten yourself up. Have a battle inside the state. You hearing that? No, we're not going to hear that. I hope it goes down. My point is that they still tried, didn't they? And this is what happens around all kinds of all around the country in the States. You think it's a conservative Republican, you're a conservative Republican. It's a uniparty, folks. They're after one thing, and that's to control the human capital, however they can, and keep control, and track it, and trace it. This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTWRLM 566. And the pressure here to get it right is going to take a lot more than booze, not the alcohol, but booze, from a uniparty supporters at a Trump rally. Neocon warmonger-in-chief Lindsey Graham gets viciously booed at a MAGA crowd in South Carolina. MAGA crowd at Donald Trump's victory bash. The baby seals, folks. Victory bash after the Saturday's South Carolina primary gave a not-so-warm welcome to Senator Lindsey Graham after Trump invited him to the podium to speak. Upon the booing, "No, no," Trump said, gesturing to try and calm the rambunctious crowd. "I love him. He's a great man. Come up here, Lindsey." "I love him? This rabid, warmongering swamp creature? Really? A victory bash? Who's getting bashed in the head like a little baby seal here, folks? Think about this. Put this into perspective. No, not the rock group, not the owls or the little people who, but whom is getting bashed ultimately? Booing warmonger Laidlaw Lindsey after Trump said he loved him. That's a better sign, but it's not enough. Trump better be real careful here, though, because those booers are the beginning of a withdrawal of support generally. As we start watching this trust and confidence build, and I'm hoping we start to do that, we find something we can hang on to better than these criminals that purport to do us some good and then stab us in the back or bludgeon us like a baby seal. But here the handlers are managing these the herds well in the pen that they had this rally on the political front, which is what they need to do. And it's just we can remind ourselves that they were saying just keep trusting the plan, right? The all important unidentified plan. Sounds like people should have done this like Russia asking rules based order. Where are these rules published? Where? Under what authority and condition? And I said, watch what Russia does against these assertions. And they're doing the things that I'm asking you to do to protect yourself in your land. I said, watch what Russia, they're under attack. Watch what's going on. Do I agree fully with Russia's position? Absolutely not. But everybody who's oppressed or attacked and wrongfully by a criminal needs to be witnessed and protected. Otherwise, you become that next victim. As I'm saying, for all of us seeing about Assange, these most, at this point right now, the most influential people should be setting up and going after those institutions to say, what nonsense are you allowing to go by that comes under, this is supposed to be justice and the rule of law? This is not justice and the rule of law. And have a good reason why. Have it all black and white laid out. But here, Graham and Trump have had a difficult on again, off again, political relationship. I can't remember that. I can't even believe that Trump said that I love him. Oh, embrace him. Wow. Uniparty, folks. Is within the same party. One's a warmonger, one's premising himself to be helping America first. Well, isn't that the same thing? And people don't look right past that. But anyway, Graham pulled an about face on Trump in 2019, presumably after realizing the then president's Make America Great Again wing of the party was gaining significant political clout and easing out traditional George W. Bush-style neocon Republicans, after which he became to cozy up to Trump and even seemingly adopted elements of his personal style. Think about a chameleon, folks. So, no, no, Trump said, "I love him. He's a great man. Come up here, Lindsey." "Okay, are you ready?" Graham asked after reaching the podium, where he was met with more boos. Quote, "America, the nightmare you're facing is just about over. Help is on the way." Is this the nightmare that Lindsey, the mouth of mass distraction, the sponsor of terrorism, has overseen his entire watch? And has he just told us, everyone, that the current nightmare is about over? The new one is about to begin, and I helped? No, not me, lunatic Lindsay helped. Something like that, the end of the nightmare? Is that what he's talking about? The economy will be great again. You'll have jobs making weapons to kill Arabs and maybe even Chinese to the last Taiwanese. That kind of nightmare? Because this warmonger chameleon cat Trump loves doesn't actually change his discolored spots here. Remember, even if he doesn't go to war, Trump is gone in four. And if Trump's swamp creatures up around his neck this past time he was in is in any indication, he'll set up a worsening nightmare able to come at us at war speed now. Even booing Laidlaw Lindsay while cheerleadering still supports the feckless uniparty. If you haven't figured out how this works, the international law recognizes all of this, if you ain't noticed yet, and I really hope you do. I don't like kind of sounding like I'm knowing a little bit more, but I see people responding, and we're in some real trouble, but we're not really responding to how we're supposed to do. We keep following a leader like we're some group of fish waiting, taking the bait. Stop that. Just stop it, folks. We got to stop it as a people. We got troubles that the Uniparty won't fix because they caused them in their lucrative offices of profit. If those cheerleaderlings get Trump in office, those same millions will have 4 years to get their home state in order with the alternatives needed to throw the feds out and the Fed and its fiat currency and its usury, etc., and to oust these usurpers from within, such as the Bar Association, race of lawyers. The term race, as defined in the 1974 Doubleday Dictionary, the race of lawyers, the singular example given, not others such as black people or people of color, if and you're needy. No, the example in the promotion under the term race was one of the ruling races, which the people are oblivious to and even support. It was the race of lawyers under the term race. It was fascinating to see this stuff. And these neocon artists, warmongers, continue. We just let them. Here's another proof from the principle that the one must listen to the lying enemy because it might explain a truth or two. Putin defeated U.S. plans for Russia, says ne'er-do-well Newland. The arch neocon has told CNN that the Washington wanted a compliant leader instead installed in Moscow. Newland explained that Washington wanted a compliant leader in the Kremlin who would westernize the country. Isn't that just what Russia Putin said in that interview with Tucker Carlson? Moving on. She's admitting it. It's not the Russia that, frankly, we wanted, Newland told CNN Christian Amanpour on Thursday. Quote, we wanted a partner that was going to be westernizing, that was going to be European, behind a tree, on a tree, who knows. But that's not what Putin has done. No, ne'er-do-well, Newland says, it's not the Russia that we frankly wanted. There it is, folks. Now I want to know who we is, and those people need to be sent to a rock outcropping in the South China Sea. Regime change Karen says it's not the Russia that we wanted. So they put America on the path to destitution by it? For as long as it takes, we hear? Where do these people come from that they feel chosen to impose their will upon foreign nations and those people living there, and force Americans to pay for it? And so arrogant to believe those people they cowardly attack wouldn't say no, or be intelligent enough to make it stop. That's the other thing gets me, the hubris in this. This isn't just Russia, but others. Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Palestine, the bomb Iran, because they have oil, too. Like Russia, with its natural resources available for corporate plunder, protected by commerce, promoted by the United States of America. That's what the agreement with His Britannic Majesty is, right? those of you that read the documents in history, commerce, correct? Maybe like the Dutch West India Company, the Dutch East India Company, the Netherlands part of the unpaid loan encumbering the creation of the United States, softening up the targets for the likes of the British East India Company, competitors so-called, originally chartered as the Governor and Company of Merchants of London trading into the East Indies. All crown holdings here, folks, after the late 1800s taken up by the monarchy, working administratively or through the Governor General at His Majesty's pleasure to provide the royal assent to those countries still subject, only given freedom of government and territory. Nothing else. Go read the documents, folks. There's all kinds of jurisdictions that are here. They're only given the people of the lands too. This is just the model for the creation of the United States of America, played over and over, if my study is correct. And I'm always throwing it out there, find it where it's incorrect. I don't want to tell people the wrong things. I've done a lot, I've been here doing this on a study for a long time, and I still haven't found the error, and I'm just waiting for someone to come along to show it to me. And once I've done this much, though, you know, it's pretty easy to watch the people that just spew nonsense. It only takes a couple questions to start straightening things up. And all these perpetually connected commerce merchant entities known as privateers are actually protected by the Constitution of the United States and appears to have morphed into Zionist usurpation. The corporations are people too, remember? Like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street, well, a couple of other top ones. Just maybe, that's what's going on here, folks? Just maybe. Ongoing. And based on this, it's not the partner we wanted tactic mentioned by the Zionist Newland to the benefit of the current development corporations and global bankers. Remember, we've already heard about BlackRock in Ukraine or the bioweapons lab of the United States protecting pharmaceutical companies and their biological experiments. Again, racial experiment, if we go to the people, the DNA and taking out certain types of people. So we have to consider, what was the deception being covered by the warp speed military attack of the great Covey swindle defeating all law and order and due process setting you up for? Put your mind back in and start applying these things I'm telling you. Start going back and looking at what they did as I was talking to you about them, what they were doing to us. Or we can apply that now, what we see today, that genocide is now acceptable as they diminish, we get desensitized to these things. Was it set up for the more perfectus union, the military-grade panopticon, open-air prison, or worse that we're seeing? Remember, the War on Terror Patriot Act, PATRIT Act, presumes everywhere but they a criminal, a criminal misdemeanor. And then we have Know Thy Customer, folks. Starting your surveillance society, if you weren't so completely under the post-founding father era of Lincolnization in the military state. But right time, right place, right insurance policy, Silverstein got his money for buildings built to withstand collisions with airplanes that collapsed into their own footprint at premeditated demolition-style consistent free-fall speed, didn't he? Being protected and covered while people die. And regarding those cowardly and high crimes and misdemeanor attacks, the U.S. government continually purports its purpose of what ne'er-do-well Newland explains in the expose, the ever-present talking point that we hear over and over, quote, what we have always done, which is defend democracy and freedom around the world. Always, folks. Always democracy. Even when it ain't so. When we get you to believe it and you remain silent, so. This is what the psychopaths mean when they say defend democracy and freedom around the world. Organized, corrupt, organizational privateering, constitutionally protected plunder, or perpetual national security interests, as the usurpers will frame it, and plausibly so. What did I just say? Privateering, corrupt organization, privateers that are constitutionally protected is in your constitution. That's why the United States cannot outlaw piracy. It won't. Well, they don't like it when other people do it. And all this has been driven by an other deceit here, which were more deeply enslaved Americas, that America is mind, body, and spirit. We really almost can't escape it. That the war of terror on Americans by their own government. And I deemed it the war of terror long ago, and here some 20-odd years later is the admission on this, as we continue just to witness this historical stuff and the stupidity of these Zionist adherent, self-chosen psychopaths. Newland told Amanpour that Putin has destroyed his own country by intervening in Ukraine. Has Putin destroyed his own country? Or is this more projection for us? Cognitive warfare, betting on your proper behavior and consent. That's all that this is. And continuing here, that the U.S. will continue to tighten the noose on him, presumably by supplying Kiev with weapons and imposing additional economic sanctions on Moscow. As I said, folks, a tiny outcropping. But projecting as she is, the noose is not around the neck of Putin. However, the article explains successive rounds of sanctions have failed to crater the Russian economy, as the United States President Joe Biden predicted that they would in 2022. Instead, the International Monetary Fund predicts the Russia's economy will grow by 2.6% in 2024, while the United States will expand by 2.1%. Putin's predecessor, Boris Yeltsin, enjoyed Washington's support as he oversaw the rushed privatization of the Russian economy in the 90s. Yeltsin reforms saw the rise of the so-called oligarchs, who amassed huge fortunes selling Russia's natural resource to Western buyers, while the majority of the population dealt with declining life expectancy, soaring crime and homicide rates, and the collapse of the ruble. So familiar, folks. Putin, who first took office in 2000, is widely credited with taming the oligarchs, imposing public order, and reversing the economic and social decline in the 90s. Even the guy behind the woodshed here, folks, found this folly out. I said it's spitting into the hurricane, the himicane, if and you're needy, as I said and remember hearing. Yet the feigned obliviousness of these psychopaths. Putin destroyed his own country. That's just got to be meant for your interest. They know that that's not true. Why isn't this ne'er-do-well Newland and the others like her? Why aren't they resigned? Is another problem. The government allows these folks. Putin isn't our problem. This is our problem. These folks inside the government. Continue. The self-chosen. Speaking complete nonsense to reality and not being moved on. As we hear, another neocon artist reason here is the economy, stupid, bribing the population to kill the others. Most Ukraine aid goes right back to U.S., says Newland as well on this expose. The money that Washington allocates for Kiev supports jobs in America, the high-ranking State Department official said. So, a big political money laundromat here, folks, the product of which is dead people, globally. She goes on to say, we have to remember that the bulk of this money is going to right back to the United States economy to make weapons, including good-paying jobs in some 40 states across the United States, she stated, adding that the support for Ukraine in America is still strong. You see, your quietness or your divided divisiveness allows her to say that. But anyway, move on. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, idiot, also recently said that roughly 90% of the financial assistance for Ukraine is spent on domestic production of weapons and equipment. He said additional tranches would benefit American business, local communities, and strengthen the U.S. defense industrial base. Americans in tranches, folks. So how does it feel that Americans get to have good-paying jobs working to kill duped Ukrainians and innocent civilians for the United States government's wish list of westernizing a Russian puppet partner for American corporate oligarchs and hiding self-destructing economy at home. And to the profit of this military-industrial complex to boot. And as we're witnessing these creating inferior weapons, if the British ICBM duds in Wile E. Coyote cartoon world can be called weapons, some Americans here get to eat while the rest slowly starve out. And that's what your so-called representatives are voting for. Not to stop the insanity or fix the problem, but they vote so that some people in their districts won't notice how bad things are while they work to stay just ahead of the homeless and hungry Joneses producing things that kill other people. And remember, they don't have to feed everyone here at home, just enough to keep the voting public under a 65% turnout. That's the magic number it takes to change the status quo, because up to about 30%, give or take, around wherever you are, work for the government and benefit from the government and the currently run government. So if you're going to go to the election, the polls, you're going to have to amass a turnout that beats 65%. That's the lowest I've seen that can do it. I was actually told the number 68, and for a long time that was holding. It was a dynamite analysis done by somebody. But I found one time it had dropped to 65. The point is, until you can get the turnout to be enough to overcome the existing status quo of government, things aren't going to change far on the election side. That's before we even start getting to any potential corruptions that we don't yet show our lack of trust and lack of confidence in. So in this idea that they get us, the American jobs, we get to eat while we make things that kill other people, kill the other is really what we're looking at here. And looking into the original and still unpaid debt here, we talked about the Netherlands, the Dutch India corporations, that unpaid debt before we think some can be the other over the mat over there. Here we think there's the other there, we can go do something to them. If we look at the Netherlands debt, as the founding documents of the United States are, remember I've told you, master, not a debtor be. And we hear this little story relative to supporting Ukraine and this usurpation that we hear Newland is using, the architect here of that. Netherlands pledges over $100 million to provide Ukraine with artillery shells. The Netherlands will allocate more than 100 million euros, $108.5 million, to Czech initiative to purchase artillery shells for Ukraine, Prime Minister Mark Rutte said. So in the thick of it is one of the original lender creditors to the United States. Still in the news right here, coming right into that to support their interest, apparently, through their corporate holdings that we can't see. Like most people can't see, the King of England controls everything. Doesn't really understand that. Oh, they gave you some crumbs. Oh, you get to have self-government. Oh, and you get to have total run of the territory. But no other parts of life and jurisdiction are given, were ever given. And people don't consider that stuff. And so the occupation sits there and just has to make sure that everyone kind of gets along. That's all. And people don't ask for more. And then as I've said, when you have more, you don't ask for it because you don't understand what you're looking at. And particularly talking about the land patent, the land disposal, things of the United States. Totally unique. Totally unique. And they offer immense power. Not unlimited power, but again, within the context of the grant, you have a property, and from that stems your rights. Very interesting. It kind of focuses all our attention there if we were to start to do that. But to even support from those which should be the other here, we get to kill the other, we make them the other, we get to call them names, and we get think over there is the other, but no, they're actually supporting their own investment in us. And then we go out and we support the other that shouldn't be supported. Ukraine gets defense boost from Israel. And that is a real soft-pedaling title. But when we read through this and understand more things and apply it, Israel will provide Ukraine with an early warning system against missiles as part of an aid package to Kiev as it condemned aggression from Russia. Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, told the General Assembly on Monday that his country had provided humanitarian aid to the Ukraine since the start of Vladimir Putin's full-scale invasion because it was, quote, the moral thing to do, comparing Russia's actions in Ukraine to the militant Hamas group's attack on Israel on October 7th. Erdogan said his country knows, quote, exactly how it feels to be aggressively invaded and to have our towns and cities attacked, as he took aim at the paralyzed UN for not condemning the massacre that preceded the war in Gaza. Can we go back to that little phrase, the moral thing to do? The deceitful Zionist Federation is an illegal belligerent occupier committing war crimes and has no moral foundation to base any action or provide basis for any condemnation. And I went through this with that document, the law of war for belligerent occupiers, but being a belligerent, the Israelis have no right of self-defense. While the Palestinians, what do I say? I've said that once before. Because we're dealing with a land called Palestine, and then we're dealing with the people of that land that don't exist from these morally acting people. So I want people to focus. We're talking about a place that everyone is saying right now doesn't exist, and yet history records say there was even a government there. The Palestinians have every right of resistance pursuant to that international law of war. The massacre referenced appears to have been that of the Zionista occupying forces executing their own people, but pursuant to their own Hannibal protocol, then blaming Hamas, then all Palestinians, none of which are innocent, even the babies that Israeli slaughter, says the Zionista, the morally acting one. This is so disgraceful. The only comparison that can be made between Ukraine and Israel in this is that both deceptive regimes were undemocratically installed by the West and both violate international laws and agreements and ethically cleanse the respective countries. In Ukraine's part, their own people, which is not their own people. See, the government's been displaced. Their democratic government doesn't exist. But in regard of these, they are definitely fighting the same battle, destroying mankind and international law in the process. These regimes also demand a lot of material support from the complicit United States and the West to keep their lies, breaches, crimes, and open ethnic cleansing pogroms, to read those up, protected. But Erdogan doesn't stop. He goes on to say, quote, the state of Israel will always remain committed to Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. And so I hope you got your thinking caps on all this time, especially when all this stuff I'm presenting. I don't get to taft all the information. Be a little bit more in depth here, but hope you're keeping track of all this. That maybe both should have not killed the people of the land and threatened the neighbors of the respecting territories or borders. Both of them are doing this. But it's fascinating what came out here. Like Israel, Ukraine has no unconditional sovereignty, which Erdogan admits of Israel being that Ukraine is that rump or buffer state subject to conditions I've explained previously, a long time back. Those conditions are, there's also condition on the Zionist Federation in that Palestinians would determine the character of Palestine, not them, self-determining that they weren't supposed to be imposed. The actual Jews here, not the Zionist Federation, but the Jews ought to have been simple immigrants into Palestine, admitted by the then existing government of Palestine. No different than they would be admitted by any country to live in that society. So the state of Israel, so unfortunately called, admits to no sovereignty or territory whatsoever to protect in equating itself with Ukraine, which is proper, but it's not what Erdogan is saying, not what it means. There would be no state of Israel sovereignty, but Jews living in Palestine under the government of Palestine if it had gone the way everyone had agreed early on. My thought that nobody should have recognized the state of Israel aside. They had already set this up. We're not talking in the 40s. We're talking this is in back in the 20s, 1920s or so. Okay, so this is a big, these folks just lie and deceive and everything and then make claims that they're the ones being harmed. It's disgraceful what's going on. But social media users noted that Erdogan's comments have signaled a shift in Israel's position, which at the start of Vladimir Putin's full-scale invasion, but Russia didn't make a full-scale invasion, and any larger operations against Kiev was stopped on the promise extended by Zelensky, which he quickly breached. The Zelensky breach. Remember, that's when all those tanks and armament was sitting right outside of Kiev, and then it disappeared. It did nothing sitting there. They were having peace talks. And Zelensky advanced that they would do the peace, and so Russia pulled their stuff out. And then Zelensky went back on his word. And then, interestingly, Russia, properly or not, didn't retaliate for that disrespect either. But you watch how Russia handles this. On the other hand, this does signal an open change of position for the occupying Zionist Federation in an attempt to justify its ethnic cleansing of the Semitic Palestinians and that of Ukraine against its own Slavic people. So there's no defense against these numerous moral breaches by both Western-installed regimes under we are acting morally. There's no basis for it. Quote, you can be sure this speech comes in coordination with the Israeli Prime Minister. It clearly marks the end of the relationship between Putin, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Post added. And I'll be interested here, folks, to hear what Russia's response is going to be on this. I haven't got it yet. I haven't seen it, whether this Syria gains greater Russian defense equipment against the moral Israeli aggression in Syria, if you hear an uptick going on there. I think it was Amir Whiteman stated in Russia Today that Russia is going to pay the price. And if this is it, though Russia is slow to react on the ground, we shall see, folks, won't we? Is Russia going to pay a price? Boy, they haven't been paying anything for what their right actions have been. Whatever wrong actions they may have, they're very intelligent about keeping those from anybody's scrutiny. But to say that Israel is acting morally to send defensive material missile systems to Ukraine because of Putin's invasion is a big sea change in the world. Very interesting. It's all a lie, but very interesting. And I may have missed it again. So I won't say it this time. Identify where I was, where this recording was. But as a gauntlet has just been slapped across Russia's face, Israel's Netanyahu says, no one will stop us in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Saturday that no one would stop Israel from achieving victory in its war against Hamas militants in the Gaza Strip. In a way, I think he's already lost it. They're back in north, and they're not fighting in the north. They moved everybody out. But they, quote, no one will stop us, not the Hague, not the Axis of Evil, and no one else. It is possible and necessary to continue until victory, and we will do it, Netanyahu told a television press conference at the war in Gaza as the war in Gaza moved to its 100th day on Sunday. But he said that those displaced from northern Gaza would not be able to return to their homes anytime soon. Quote, there is an international law, and it says a simple thing. You remove a population, and you don't allow it to return as long as the danger exists, Netanyahu says. Well, no one will stop us in Gaza. Contrary to the assertions made in the International Court of Justice by the Zionist Federation attorneys, seems a definite statement to the intention to commit the genocide against the Palestinians, killing women, children, the elderly, and the men that are not fighting, if the Zionists have a right to defense, which they don't, and no one has stopped them. See what non-action allows? Yeah, all of this runs kind of like that. Why? It's so important to get somewhere involved somehow. just get back in the fight of it, because they're going to come to kill us. They're using all these models to come back around and take us out, and they use them to justify the evil that's out there right now. And you see everybody sitting on their hands. There's a little bit of help. You know, talking about a ceasefire, that's even the wrong answer. There shouldn't be any fire. There shouldn't be a war. They should, again, the Zionists need to be put on a rock outcropping in the South China Sea. And they ought to have done like they started to do, allow those Jews that wanted to show up in Palestine to reclaim their land that they could prove, emigrate into the Palestinian territory and immigrate in underneath the government that existed to keep the peace. A government can keep peace. As I've said before, the power in the United States under the land disposal law is that law keeps the peace. In fact, the government cannot interfere with that, to show you how powerful this can actually be. But moving back, these war expenditures that are coming from the United States, Genocide Joe uses the ethnically cleansed Palestine to appear to violate the law as well. These expenditures do, but not as the story suggests, as you can read just Biden, but the whole Congress, the Uniparty and the Congress creators appropriating the money are doing it against the law as well. So it's just from top to bottom, this is not lawful. Rule of law and democracy, it does not exist in this world. Washington arms supplies to Israel violate U.S. law. The Biden administration transfers of arms to Israel amid the Gaza war violated U.S. domestic laws and policies that require the recipients of weapons must abide by international law, Human Rights Watch said on World Report 2024. It's not much different than what I've been saying. Just follow the law. You find out that the Zionists over there could not do what they're doing. There should be no support. This is easy to understand for the United States. You take a grant, a company, a corporation, takes a grant from the United States of the government. You follow the federal law through that. You have to abide by the law through that. It's almost like some kind of a bail hearing. But at any rate, you have to abide by the law. This has been totally not recognized going forward, and no representative Congress critter has been talking about it. No, they just vote more money so that money can come back and we Americans can have jobs to go kill the other people. And instead of the representatives of the people being fiscally responsible and all this on top of it, the criminal Congress critters would rather thieve from other people. White House backs bill to seizure of frozen Russian assets. I mean, these thieves just don't stop. No, they don't want to do it to solve it themselves. No, they're going to go steal it from somebody. The White House supports a bill that would allow the confiscation of Russian frozen assets and their transfer to Kiev, citing a note from the United States National Security Council that Senate Foreign Relations Committee says, remember, those funds come back to the communities at home so we get jobs to make more ammunition to go kill people. That's what Newland says. The United States administration welcomes the bill in principle, the NSC was quoted as saying, adding that it would, quote, would provide a authority needed for the executive branch to seize Russian sovereign assets for the benefit of Ukraine. Sovereign assets, folks. I've mentioned this before. These are hardcore international criminals who are looking for conspirators at this point. At the same time, U.S. authorities would like to coordinate their actions with partners from the other G7 countries to reduce risks of undermining foreign investors' trusts. There we go, trust and confidence. Trust in the U.S. financial system. This is the big stakes they're messing with. Like de-dollarization, right? Politicizing the dollar. It's just a not of direction to go. Moscow has repeatedly stressed that the attempt to confiscate Russian frozen assets over $300 billion worth would violate international law and will trigger legal response from Russia. Quote, those who are trying to initiate this and those who will implement it must understand that Russia will never leave those who did this alone. And it will constantly exercise its right into legal battle internationally, nationally, or otherwise. And this is, of course, will have, both European and Americans understand this very well, it will have legal consequences for those who initiated and implemented it, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said, commenting on the issue. Wouldn't it be more ethical and moral just to balance the economy and stop picking fights or threatening everyone, folks? Does one have to believe in the Bible to know thou shalt not steal? And why don't they? Because, as Dmitry points out here, both Europeans and Americans understand this very well. Absolutely. Time out of mind. These organized criminals in D.C., the District of Criminals, must not be the Americans that they profess to serve and that are not serving. And this is on us at that point. Or for reasons that they purport to serve or act. U.S. reopens ports to Russia oil despite sanctions. What lunacy is going on in this world anymore? The United States has imported Russian oil for the first time since April 2022. The imports totaling 36,800 barrels in October and 9,900 barrels in November were conducted for $2.7 million and $740,500 respectively. According to the data, the United States purchased Russian oil for consumption in both October and November. At the same time, one barrel of Russian oil cost the United States $74 in October and $76 the following month. This is significantly higher than the price cap set for the country at $60 per barrel, isn't it? Set your standards and then break them. See, this is the thing about trust and confidence. Steal sovereign wealth. Then go to your victim to purchase products you need from them. These folks don't have any principles left in the United States. Nothing. I can almost see Russia charging us, the U.S. companies, $300 billion for the next load of oil plus $74 a barrel plus shipping and handling. Get you? Brandon can fill the strategic reserve here that he pilfered with that, don't you think? People thought three times the price of the refills is bad. Keep stealing sovereign wealth, folks, and see what starts to happen. I told you, don't mess around with the producer. And the reason, the problem with the United States is we forgot our production, our basis, and we never protected that. And until we go back to protecting our producers, not commerce now, producers, which includes manufacturing, we should never let it go away. We should have never not supported it, and we don't. You're watching how someone who has that control against a nation that's supposed to be more powerful than it can control the condition and the situation. Now, I've almost looked right past this next story. I'll just hang this one out there near the end here. I realize there's a lesson here after I was reading it. For those that are concerned, and this next notice to us is just a clue as to the condition that shouldn't be used if one doesn't fully understand what's being revealed here. As I caution you all the time, just don't take your information and run until you understand it, because this stuff will be used against you. Interesting where this finally came up. I've talked a little bit about it, and we don't want it. We want to make sure that we don't have it used against us, because you won't know how to counter the misrepresentation tactic the state tries when it understands that you start to know. You really have to know this. And this notice here kind of explains, it is similar to what is done in the 1994 Oregon bankruptcy rule here in 1005. I've mentioned regarding style in the way a letter looks. Surprisingly, that's authoritative too, folks, and so we've got to pay attention. And some people will use this, but they don't use it right, and so they've gone off the rail with it. But you'd have to hear on this, you've got to be careful about it, because you have to respond to the fraudulent representation that they would come from this style change to show the tactic is an extortion and coercion, as I've talked to you about status or by location. This style, the way a letter looks, is very important, but it's attached to a couple things, and you've got to have to understand all this. So this next notice is a loaded gun stuff, so be very careful. I don't really want to think I'll say more about that, but to say, just to go through the article, I have to caution, just do the full study and then consider deeply before trying to use it on here. It's not going to sound a lot of dire here stuff here, but it's going to sound stupid and simple, but it's not. It's what they've done to us. Like many of these things, people people doing this wrong will allow the occupiers to defeat it, being there's no law being used, see, and you have no objective basis when they put you on sand. You don't want to operate on the sand because they rely on the presumptions and the benefits they ostensibly provide under artifice of style. And I've been talking about that actually all day today through what's been going on with the Israelis, and especially the last few stories. But if you can peer through this smokescreen on this article, you may start to get a little bit more of what's involved. Again, use this more for study. Don't use this in action quite anytime soon. It's going to take a little bit to figure it out. Obama's daughter reveals a new name. Malia Obama now goes by Malia Ann in an apparent bid to dodge accusations of nepotism. Malia Obama, daughter of former U.S. President Barack Obama, has dropped her father's surname for her Hollywood debut. Malia Ann quietly announced her nom de plume, and I'll interject here, we're told nom de plumes is a pen name. Pen name. Malia Ann quietly announced her nom de plume for her first short film, The Heart, recently premiered at the Sundance Festival. One more thought here. I want to say more. I won't say more after all. A pen connoting a captured animal. When one observes, they are informed of or perceiving of an inverted reality or what is straw and can get to the heart of this matter of what is real and where or relative to these, when we're talking on this name for change. And when you know The Matrix is not a movie, the fictions are powerful tools here, folks, and for good or evil. So again, don't use a prejudice to approach this simple little concept that's missed by everybody, I think. And one can only do that by being fully informed to avoid a fight. We don't want to fight, but be prepared in case it is insisted upon by the occupier. Not much different than we see the terrorism caused by the Zionists upon the Palestinians in their open-air pen and declared animals. So the simple little point here, I've already read enough. There's a clue in this, what she's done. But use it, work at it in reverse. I've referenced a bankruptcy rule, a style rule 1005 out of Oregon. Start to put those together and start to understand what they've done to us, how they've situated us, what they make us look like on paper, what that allows them to presume, and those presumptions left unrebutted, or how they capture us. And so this is a little side thing. Please be very careful on this one. There's a lot more to learn, but I hope this gets us a little bit farther along. Hope something I said today helps you reorient yourself. All these inversions going on in the world, it's hard to get a foundation. They stick you in sand. They stick you in a place that you're topsy-turvy. We've got to level it out. We've got to settle down. And we have to get a foundation to work from. Don't work from sand. Don't allow them to put us on the slippery slope. And I hope something I said today will help you do that, or at least start to see these things. And I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or Nature Willing. This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTWRLM 566.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
A can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.